world's fascination with hating the Jewish people. My name's Chris Katulka. As Scott said, I minister with the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. Me, my wife, we live in New Jersey. And so I just flew up here yesterday to come to Calgary. It's beautiful. Thank you for having me. I am very excited about this weekend. Now, before we get started, I want to share two things with you. The first is, how many people do get Israel My Glory magazine? Okay, good. A lot of you do. I don't see some hands though. If you come up here and you sign up, you get a year free subscription to one of the most read Christian magazines in the world. This goes to 160,000 subscribers around the world, read by more than 500,000 people in 2 months. And it's all about what's happening, trends that are happening in Israel and the Christian world from a biblical perspective. Not from the media's perspective, from a biblical perspective. So be sure to sign up and get, if you don't already, you can get a year free subscription. It'll come right to your house of Israel My Glory. Please help yourself to that. And then Friends of Israel also has a special magazine just for Canadians. Okay? It's called the Canadian Communique. And now I heard Scott talk about the fact that he has never been to Israel before. Well, Scott, if you actually pick up your Canadian Communique, there is a contest that's going on. You can win a free trip to Israel with our Hesed program. It's for those older people with a younger heart, okay? It's our Hesed program, and if you sign up, you can go over and minister to Israelis, and you do that through acts of service, showing the love of the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, by working. We work at a local hospital called Kaplan Medical Center, just like any hospital that you would go to here, and while you're at the hospital, you clean toilets, you mop floors, all with a smile. And when an Israeli sees you, a Canadian, with a smile as you're cleaning a toilet, Israelis can't help themselves. They have to say, "What are you doing here? Why are you cleaning a toilet in Rehovot, Israel? Why are you here right now? Tell me." And you can say, "I'm here because of the love of the Messiah, and I just want to let you know how much I love you, the Jewish people, and the nation of Israel." And I'm going to tell you, I've been doing it for years, a decade now. And I promise you, I have gotten pulled over at the grocery store. An older Russian man saw me and he says, "I saw you at the hospital." And he started tearing up, this big Russian man. And he just gave me a bear hug, a Russian bear hug, okay? And I'm a short man. He was a tall. It was an awkward situation in the middle of the grocery store. But it just kind of shows you the kind of response that the Israelis have. So please be sure to sign up. Try to, get your Canadian communique. You got your the ability to sign up for a free trip with our Hesed project. And for young adults, our Origins trip goes in the summertime, does the exact same thing as well. So be sure to pick up your communique, your Israel My Glory. We're going to be talking about kind of a depressing subject. But I promise that as we go through the depressing subject, there's the beauty of the Bible is that it goes into the mud, but God always provides the hope of bringing us out, okay? So as we're getting there, I want to show you the four horsemen of the apocalypse. These are my kids. I call them the four horsemen of the apocalypse because if you remember the four horsemen of the apocalypse, you remember what they are? Dominion, pestilence, famine, and death, okay? Dominion, they don't ever stop fighting one another for power, okay? Pestilence. Since they've started going to school, I'm sick 5 times a year. Like, doctor's sick, okay? Famine. I don't have any food in my house ever. It's gone all the time, okay? And then finally, death. It's when me and my wife, we're so tired at the end of the day, we just say, "Lord, take us now. Please, take us now." But these are our four kids, Olive, Cohen, Preston, and Levi. So they wish they could be here. They like to travel, but they're home right now. And finally, you can listen to our radio program. I'm the host of the Friends of Israel Today radio program by just going to foiradio.org, and you can listen there. My boss was telling me he was up in La Crete. And he said, there you go, La Crete. And he said, I was coming out of the hotel room and I heard on the country music station, Wild Country 97 something. It's a country station of country music, and they were playing the Friends of Israel Today. So, look around. You can find a station that the program's on. We're on a bunch of, in a bunch of cities here in Canada as well. So, foiradio.org. All right, everybody. The history of the hatred toward the Jewish people. This is something that I think is serious to talk about, because I don't know if you've noticed or not, but anti-Semitism is on the rise again. You know, you would think after the Holocaust, we would have finally learned our lesson on anti-Semitism, especially in Europe, where it took place, especially in Germany, especially in Poland, especially in Hungary, these countries that it was kind of center stage for what was happening in the Holocaust. You would think France would have learned. England would have learned. And yet what we're seeing is that there is a drastic rise of anti-Semitism that's happening not only in Europe, but all around the world. And so I want to connect an idea to you as we go through this, because this is the last day's prophecy conference. By the end of this session, I want you to see that the hatred of the Jewish people isn't merely something that is secular. It's spiritual in nature. And so we're going to walk through that as we go. Anti-Semitism is not synonymous with the Holocaust. It's age old, everybody. This isn't something that's new. A lot of people think of the word anti-Semitism. Actually, there's... It's sad as our Holocaust survivors are passing away, and they're leaving the scene of a verbal and physical testimony of what happened. As they are leaving the world scene, we are seeing a rise also of Holocaust denial, and the denial that the Holocaust even happened, or the denial of actual facts. And the sad thing is this, is that anti-Semitism is something that goes back ages. I want to read you a section from the magazine that we have, Israel My Glory. Let me see if I can get it up here for you. I might have to pull this out here. And let me see if I can get this up for you here. Because I want to read a section for you about the history of anti-Semitism. Let's see if we can get it here. If I can't, then I'll just share with you a little bit about the history otherwise. Let's see. Maybe this will work. Sorry, internet is sparse here. All right. Let's see if we can get it logged up here. As it's loading, the history of anti-Semitism doesn't just date to 1935, 1936. It's something that goes back millennia. I don't think this is going to load up just because there's no internet here. But the idea that I want to communicate to you is this. A lot of the stories that we have in the Bible actually, here it comes right here, perfect, actually come from a history of anti-Semitism. Listen to this. The ugly narrative of defrauding the Jewish people of their unique historical connection to Jerusalem doesn't originate with Israel's reunification of Jerusalem in 1967. As many would have you believe. Instead, it's an age-old tale that's been unfolding for millennia. Kingdoms and empires of the past are guilty of the same crime perpetuated by the United Nations, who also engaged in the effort to erase Jerusalem of its Jewish identity. Think about this. In 167 BC, the Greek ruler Antiochus Epiphanes sought to hollow out the Jews by dismantling Judaism from the inside out. His anti-Semitic mission started by outlawing Jewish traditions and rites like reading the Torah, circumcision, and honoring the Sabbath. He eventually struck at the heart of Judaism, turning Jerusalem into a Greek colony and the temple into a place of pagan worship. The total Hellenization of Jerusalem, however, found its demise when God raised up, you know this story? Judah Maccabeus to fight against the forces attempting to separate the Jewish people from Jerusalem. This is one. This goes back to 167 BC. This is a story of the Jewish people that lies in between the book of Malachi at the end of the Old Testament and the book of Matthew at the beginning of the New Testament. You know that little page that flaps in the air when you flip between this little page right here? You know that? See that? That's 400 years of history, everybody. You see that? Just waving in the air. That is where the story of Judah Maccabeus and the Maccabees come from. And it's incredibly influential in how Jesus relates with his people. But it was a terrible moment for the Jewish people that were living in Jerusalem. You know, Antiochus Epiphanes, who you read about in the book of Daniel, this Greek king who comes from the area of Syria, he couldn't stand the Jewish people. And the reason he couldn't stand them is because they had their own identity, a Jewish identity. And they were different. He wanted everyone to be Greek. That's what Antiochus wanted. Everyone to just stop being your religion and just be Greek. And the Jewish people wouldn't do it. And Antiochus was frustrated over a situation that was going on down in Egypt, and he marches up into Jerusalem, and you know what he does? He says, I'm tired of all of you. This is it. It's over. I'm stopping Torah reading. I'm stopping circumcision. I'm stopping Sabbath. You can't eat kosher foods anymore. I'm stopping you from being what? Jewish. Can't be Jewish anymore. In fact, I'm going to take a pig and slaughter it in the temple. It's called an abomination of desolation. I am going to desecrate the temple that you find and worship God in. I'm going to end this relationship. You will be Greek from now on. And you know what Antiochus did? He went around from city to city, throughout different Jewish cities or surrounding Jerusalem, and he made every leader of the Jewish people in each city slaughter a pig to show allegiance to him. And you know what's sad? Most of the Jewish leaders did out of fear for their own life, except for one man, the Maccabees. Judas Maccabeus stood up against Antiochus Epiphanes. He stood up. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. And he actually formed a group of rebel fighters that eventually fought back and pushed back Antiochus Epiphanes and his armies. And you know what that story is called today? Hanukkah. You know Hanukkah? The rededication of the temple. This is what Jewish people celebrate during Christmas, is the rededication of the temple after it was desecrated by Antiochus. And the Jewish people regained their identity once again. Isn't that amazing? But all of that came from anti-Semitism. Listen to this. A few centuries later, the Roman Emperor Hadrian tried to rewrite Jewish history by renaming Israel and Jerusalem. After fighting to quell a massive Jewish uprising led by Simon Bar Kokhba in 135 AD, a messianic figure who fought for an independent Jewish state and liberated Jerusalem, Hadrian managed to stamp out every last bit of Jewish identity in Jerusalem. In his anger towards them, he replaced the name Israel with Palestine. If you want to know why people call Israel Palestine, is because it goes back to Hadrian, a Roman emperor who lived around 135 AD, who was so frustrated with the Jewish people for not being like him, for being different, and wanting their own independence. He got so frustrated, he goes, you know what? I'm going to blot out everything Jewish in this whole area. I'm going to name it after your enemies, the Philistines. That's where the name Palestine comes from. And he gave the Jewish city a new Roman name, Aelia Capitolina, a name that would remain until the Arabs took control of it in 638 AD. Isn't that crazy? All of it stemming from anti-Semitism. Now let me get back here for you here. Let me get back towards our PowerPoint presentation. Let's see. Sorry. Let me get back to where we were. The history of anti-Semitism goes back to even its very beginning. Egypt, Babylon, Persia. That's where we get the story of Esther, born out of persecution when Haman wanted to literally eradicate all of the Jewish people. Jewish people celebrate Purim in February, March, to celebrate the fact that God delivered his people again from potential annihilation in the Persian kingdom. The Greek and Roman Empire, the Spanish Inquisition, the Russian pogroms. Anybody here ever see Fiddler on the Roof? Fiddler on the Roof is a movie that comes from the period of the Russian pogroms. And, of course, the Spanish Inquisitions. As Christopher Columbus was literally setting sail for America, Jews were getting kicked out, forced out of Spain. Isn't that crazy? And then the Holocaust. I want you to just imagine this for a minute. The Holocaust, Hitler successfully murdered 6 million Jewish people. Success. It was a machine. I can't even fat. All we have are pictures and small videos, but it was a machine to make that happen. It was so well planned. And you know, this is something you think you would read about in a book from 1,000 years ago. You would think this is something that happened in the medieval era. This only happened 75, 80 years ago. We have a Holocaust survivor with us here today. Where is she? There she is, right over there. We still have Holocaust survivors with us who lived. Be sure that you go up and you shake hands with Sabra. Visit her table over here. There are still people that exist today that lived through this horrible moment of anti-Semitism. Folks, it is alive and well. There's a history to it. And look, there is a lot of movement that happens in anti-Semitism. It doesn't have one face. It's multifaceted. Look it, there's religious anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is deeply rooted in Christian history, sadly. Our history is rooted with aspects of anti-Semitism all throughout it. Our faith, our history. And it's a history that I am not happy with at all. And I think within the past 50 years, the evangelical community has worked hard to make sure Israel and the Jewish people know we do not agree with what the people in the past did in Christianity. And we stand as friends with Israel and friends with the Jewish people because of what the Bible says. Christians persecuted Jews in the past because they wouldn't convert. That's changed. Muslim theology perpetuates anti-Semitism even to this very day. But that's one aspect of anti-Semitism. There's a whole other aspect of it as well, the secular aspect of anti-Semitism. The enlightened of the 19th century introduced the new anti-Semitism, and it was a racial genetic anti-Semitism. It had nothing to do with the Jewish religion. It had everything to do with the Jew. As Heinrich Heine phrased it, they don't hate me because of my God. They hate me because of what? My nose. If you think it was because of theological reasons that Hitler sent 6 million Jewish people to the graves, you're wrong. It was a genetic thing. It was a secular issue. Look at this. I want to show you some aspects of church of anti-Semitism as it gets worked out from what we just saw. Anti-Semitism in early church history. I know it might be kind of hard to see this, but this is in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. And this is a mural it's kind of made of different rocks and whatnot. It's called a mosaic. And the artist here, it's an amazing place. Right over here is Golgotha. So Golgotha is right here where Jesus died on the cross. And so as you're walking up into the chapel, you're seeing the story in mosaics of the unfolding story of the gospel. It's beautiful. Going all the way back to over here, if you're looking at it, it starts with Abraham binding Isaac and the story of that and how it goes all the way, all these different biblical stories that eventually work their way to Jesus being sacrificed. And so here's Jesus hanging on a cross. And you see, standing above him is his mother Mary, and down here is probably Mary Magdalene, and we can guess because of the red hair that's there. Now, let me ask you a question. Who put Jesus on the cross? I know we did, but literally, who were the people that put Jesus on the cross? Was it the Jews or was it the Romans that physically put Jesus on the cross? It was the Romans. Jews had nothing to do with crucifixion. This is not a Jewish form of capital punishment. This is a Roman form of capital punishment. But if you look deeply at how the artist portrayed what was going on here, you'll notice the person holding the hammer is not a Roman. What is he dressed as? He's dressed as a Jew. So what happens is you see in early church history right away that the artist of this painting is trying to say it's the Jew that put Jesus on the cross. Not the Roman should be there. It was the Roman with the hammer in his hand. It was the Roman enacting punishment. But it's anti-Semitism. It's anti-Semitism to stick a Jewish. It's falsely claiming that Jesus, that the Jews put Jesus physically on the cross. That's anti-Semitism in the early church. Look at this, anti-Semitism in Islam. This is just a couple years ago at the UN. Danny Dione, who is the ambassador of Israel to the UN, holding up a sign that they found they were teaching kids how to stab a Jew in Arabic. If you want the best way to kill a Jew, notice where they put it. And it says it in Arabic, the best place to put it. The knife. This isn't going to adult terrorists. This is educating kids in elementary schools, in middle schools, on how to kill a Jew in Israel. Folks, that's anti-Semitism. How about this? This comes from the 1940s. Remember we talked about the secular aspect of anti-Semitism. This, have you ever seen this type of art before? This comes from the Nazi era propaganda. And look what it says here. The caption down here in German reads like this. Life is not worth living when one does not resist the parasite. Never satisfies as it creeps about. We must and will win. That's what it says down here. Now look, what's the one thing that sticks out on this art that they have here? The nose. Do you remember what Heinrich Heine said? They don't hate me because of my God. They hate me because of my nose. The nose becomes the identifying marker of the Jew. And look at, he's a parasite with his hands into all of the world, sucking the world dry of all its money. And look, if you look up in his eyes, you can see that there's a sickle and also over here a sign of money. You can see signs that are in his eyes to kind of show where he finds his allegiance. He finds his allegiance in socialism, and he finds his allegiance in capitalism, and he's just sucking all of this stuff, all of what is in the earth dry. He's the parasite, the guy with the big nose. And this is the kind of propaganda that was going out, anti-Semitic propaganda. And the sad thing is that there's a growing trend that's coming back. Listen to what Elliot Engel, who's a New York congressman, said. He said this, nearly six decades after the Holocaust concluded, anti-Semitism, the hatred of Jewish people, still exists as the scourge of the world. This is just said a couple years ago. I want to show you another thing, and I'm hoping that this works. I think that you'll be surprised when you see this. Let's see if this logs in here. Because this is going to show you statistics from the ADL on what anti-Semitism looks like around the world and what it looks like right in your backyard. And again, I'm having a hard time with internet, so it may or may not open. But they're arguing that a more than a ridiculous amount, let's see what it says here, that there are, in the Americas, as that's loading, 19% of people that live in the Americas harbor anti-Semitic feelings. Look at this. You're probably not surprised by this, but 74% of people that live in the Middle East and North Africa harbor anti-Semitic feelings. In Western Europe, 24%, almost a quarter of Western Europe, civilized Western Europe, harbors anti-Semitic feelings toward the Jewish people. In Eastern Europe, 34% harbor anti-Semitic feelings toward Jewish people. This comes from the ADL. Let me see if this has popped up here. It's going to take too long. I'm sorry, everybody. I encourage you to go to the ADL and look up, and you can see, I know in Canada, 14% of Canadians harbor anti-Semitic feelings towards Jewish people. Down in America, we actually have the less. It's down here in Mexico, they harbor, 25% of Mexicans harbor anti-Semitic feelings towards Jewish people. I believe it was 9% in America and 14% in Canada. That's crazy. If you think about it, that's absolutely crazy. That comes from the ADL. Let me get back here to my presentation, and I'm sorry about the internet disruption that we're having here. But I want you to see that as we continue, anti-Semitism is on the rise. It's continuing to grow. It's continuing to get worse. Let me keep moving forward here. Hopefully this is all working. Let's see. Soren Kern, who writes for Gatestone Institute, says this: anti-Semitism in Europe today is like a complex dark nebula. It includes remnants of fascist anti-Semitism and increasing levels of Islamic anti-Semitism, with anti-Zionism added to the mix. Fascist anti-Semites, to hide their anti-Semitism, often join anti-Zionist movements where they work hand in hand with Islamic Semites, anti-Semites, to organize protests against Israel. This is fascinating. Groups of people that would never, what he's trying to say is groups of people that would never come together at all are coming together under the banner of anti-Semitism in Europe. If you ever look at anti-Semitic rallies that happen, it usually involves the progressive left, the progressive left, and it involves the very right-leaning Muslim groups. Two groups that could be furthest from the center, two groups that would never hang out during the day, come together under the banner of anti-Semitism in Europe. And you're seeing a rise of that in America. I saw it happen in Washington, D.C. when I was at the AIPAC conference. And it's fascinating. You see progressive left mixed with radical Muslims, and these two people that would never shake hands on any given day are coming under the banner of anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism. And this is the new form of anti-Semitism that we have to be watching out for. Zionism. How many people here are Zionists? Raise your hand if you're a Zionist. Raise your hand if you don't know what Zionism means. Good. Awesome. Let's answer that question, and then let's have a test. Okay, here we go. Zionism is the belief that you hold if you believe the Jewish people have a right to live in their ancestral homeland. So if you believe that Jewish people have a right to live in Israel, then raise your hand. Okay, we've got some Zionists here. Good. Now, how many people here believe that Jewish people deserve to live in Israel because of what the Bible says? Raise your hand. Okay, you know what that makes you? That makes you a Christian Zionist. That makes you, you're a Christian, you look at the Word of God, you see that God says, I want my people back in the land, I'm gonna open the doors to make it happen, it's gonna be a sign of things that are coming, that the Jewish people are coming back into the land. If you value those things, then that makes you a Christian Zionist. And here's what's happening. There's a growing trend that's happening where they're connecting anti-Zionism, which means people who don't believe Jewish people have a right to exist in their homeland, with anti-Semitism. People will look at you and go, I don't like Jewish people in the land, but that doesn't mean I don't like Jewish people. Think about that. People are saying, I don't like Jewish people in the land of Israel. They say that. This is what they say. They're anti-Zionist. I don't like Jews living in Israel, but that doesn't mean I hate Jews. People, that's the most racist thing you could possibly say. Of it, and this is an argument that they make over and over again. Oh, no, I don't like Israel. I hate Israel. But that doesn't mean I hate the Jews. That's what they say. And you know what? This is a new form of anti-Zionism is becoming anti-Semitism. If you watch closely at most riots that happen or protests that happen, if Israel ever goes to war with the Palestinians or ever engages in war, you will see that most major cities have a rally against Israel. Do you know what I'm talking about? They'll have a rally against Israel. And you'll start to see signs like, you know, Israel, get out of the Palestinians' home, or, you know, free Palestine. But then you'll also see in the back another sign. They should have died in the gas chambers. Seriously. They will throw rocks at Jewish store owners. What does that sound like? Sounds like the Holocaust. Folks, anti-Zionism always leads, I mean this, it always leads to anti-Semitism. It's a natural doorway to anti-Semitism. Abba Ibn, who was a diplomat for Israel, said this: one of the chief tasks of any dialogue with the Gentile world is to prove that the distinction between anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism is not a distinction at all. Abba Ibn also had another great phrase, which I think is one of the greatest on record. The Palestinians never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. It's the greatest line. Of all the opportunities that the Palestinians had to create a state, they always miss the opportunity to miss the opportunity. Abba Ibn, a great guy. I'm running out of time, but what you're seeing today is a rise in anti-Semitism through what's called BDS. Has anybody ever heard of BDS before? Boycott, divestment, and sanctions. If you'll notice, anybody have a SodaStream machine? Did you ever hear of SodaStream? That is an Israeli product. And you can buy them at Walmart. You can buy them all over. And you know, they had a business in the West Bank. And they were, Israelis worked in the SodaStream factory. Palestinians worked in the SodaStream factory. Muslims, Jews, Christians, they all worked together to build a product, and they were making good money doing it. Until the BDS movement, which is all throughout Europe and America, started putting pressure on SodaStream. Get out of the West Bank. You're an Israeli country in Palestinian territory. You're an Israeli company in Palestinian territory. Get out. And let's boycott this product. And they received so much pressure that finally the CEO of the company and founder of the company said, all right, well, we're going to move. And they moved to Israel down in an area, I think, near Beersheba, down south. You know what happened? The Israelis could go down and follow their job down south. But what happened to the Palestinians that were making really good money working at SodaStream? They lost their job. The very people that BDS is trying to help, the Palestinians, actually hurt them. The Palestinians were saying, please, keep your mouth shut. We like our job. We like working here. We get along with the Israelis. I'm a middle class citizen. I make good money. I can send my kids to school. I got a 401k. You know, I got all the great stuff. Why are you, please be quiet. And he left. There's no Palestinians working in SodaStream anymore. They're not allowed down there. So BDS is boycotting Israeli products. They're calling on churches and that have big 401k programs and are invested in mutual funds to divest from any Israeli company or company that does work in Israel, and to sanction Israel. It's BDS. You should check it out. Do some research on it. But folks, here's the thing. Why is there anti-Semitism? Why? I mean, we just walked through the history of it. We saw what it was in the past and what it is today, what it's conformed to be, what it looks like now. But why? Folks, let me tell you something. What God values, Satan attempts to destroy. What God values, Satan attempts to destroy. God loves the Jewish people. He has a heart for the Jewish people. Folks, your entire book is the Bible that you love and adore and you understand and God through, that you learn about the gospel through, that you've been the word of God that transform you, it's alive and it's well and it's active, is written by Jewish men. And God never said in this Bible, I'm done with the Jewish people. He never said that. You know what? God actually has a plan for the Jewish people. And if God has a plan, then whatever God values, Satan will attempt to destroy. And listen, that doesn't just go for Israel and the Jewish people. That goes for us as the church as well. You're not exempt from attacks from Satan, are you? Satan is coming hard after you. If you believe in the word of God, if you have values that are biblical, if you believe Jesus is the Messiah and that you're a part of a growing community at a church and you're reaching out into your community and you're trying to encourage your community to see the value of the gospel of the Lord, can I tell you something? Satan's coming hard after you. Because what God values, Satan destroys. Anti-Semitism is a spiritual problem. People always say to me, why does everyone hate the Jewish people so much? I get that question all the time. It's because Satan hates the Jewish people. Because God, through his glorious divine plan, used the Jewish people to bring redemption into this world. And Satan found his end at the cross. But God's not done yet. He's coming back again. And you know what? All that is going on in the world is focusing where? Not in Canada. I'm sorry. Not in America. I'm okay with that. Not in London. Not in Shanghai. When I open the newspapers, what do I see front and center all the time? Israel. People, think about that for a moment. The tiniest country in the world that's made up of 7 to 8 million people. New Jersey has 7 to 8 million, 9 million people. New Jersey. Israel is a tiny, tiny country. It barely shows up on the map, and yet it covers our newspapers all the time. Is Luxembourg in your newspaper? No. Is Ecuador in your newspaper? No. You know why? Because God is revealing to us that he wants our attention focused where? In Israel. Because things are happening there, and what God values, Satan is going to attempt to destroy. Folks, look at this. Psalm 83, 1 through 5. I don't believe this is a singular event in the future. I believe this is a revelation from God that anti-Semitism has always been around and will be around because Satan will constantly be attacking the church and the Jewish people. I believe that. O God, do not be keep silent. Do not hold your peace or be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make an uproar. Those who hate you have raised their hands. Notice, what is David connecting this to? He's connecting the fact that the people who raise their hands, they don't hate the Jewish person. They're saying, I hate God. They raise their hands. They lay crafty plans, what, against your people? They consult against your treasured ones. They say, come, let us wipe them out as a nation. That sounds like something right out of the newspaper. Let the name of Israel be remembered no more, for they conspire with one accord against you. They make a covenant. You go after Israel. You know what God is saying? You go after me. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. History is on Israel's side. They survived Egypt. They survived Assyria. They survived Babylon. They survived Persia. They survived Greece. They survived Rome. They survived the Crusaders. They survived the Spanish Inquisitions. They survived the Russian pogroms. They survived the Holocaust. And they're still here in their country. Whose side do you think God is on? Whose side do you think you should be on? I know where I'm putting my allegiance, in the Word of God, in Jesus the Messiah, and looking at where he's putting and laying all the pieces. I'm saying, you know what? I'm probably, even though the odds are against Israel all the time, I'm probably going to put my cards there. If you ever notice, if you put your cards there, you win big. Has God rejected Israel? I'll just end with this. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? The Jewish people might have rejected Jesus, but can I tell you something? Look what it says, that their rejection means what? The reconciliation of the world. How many Jewish people are here right now? One, two. Look at the rejection that happened then brought blessings to the Gentile world. How many people here have been blessed by the Word of God and Jesus the Messiah? Raise your hand. The Jewish Messiah. How many people here have been blessed by the Jewish Messiah? People, that's crazy. Their rejection means the reconciliation of the world. But what will their acceptance mean? Paul, a Jewish man saying this, but life from the dead. Father, there's a lot that's happening in this world, things that we don't understand. We look at the newspapers, we watch the news, you know. But Father, what we want to do is not process all of it through the grid of what the world sees, Lord. We want to see it from a biblical worldview. We want to see what's happening in the world through your lens, through your grid. We want to make sure that we're on your side, that we're backing what you value. And Lord, I know that you value Israel and the Jewish people. And so we will always, no matter what happens, show our love to them. And so, Father, all that's happening in the world with anti-Semitism, all the hate, all of it that's coming to arise again, Father, we just pray against it. We pray against Satan. We pray against the spiritual forces that are working against your chosen people. And Father, I pray that the church will wake up and value Israel and the Jewish people, that the church will wake up and see that even though the odds are stacked against the Jewish people in Israel, as they've always been, you value them. So we should value them. Let's help them. Father, thank you so much. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.